Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to each one. Special welcome to the visitors. Welcome back, Kirkland and Brenda. Good to see you back here. My title this morning is Not I, But Christ. So, I have a question for y'all. Who was full of I, not Christ? Jesus said they strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Who was that? Read Matthew here. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. He's talking to the scribes. He says, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. Hypocrisy is, it's, Christ isn't in the heart. It's about me looking good to others and me feeling good in my sin. There's also the other side. Charisma without good works, I think, is the same way. It's about me looking good to others and feeling good in my sin. Point number one, not I but Christ in the heart. Ye are the temple of the living God. You must be born again. Cleanse the temple and keep it cleansed. Jesus wants to live in your temple. Think of an illustration of if you want to abide in your friend's house, but it's full of himself, it's full of the smoke of laziness and selfishness, and it has a stench filled with the stench of his ego, you don't really feel welcome there. Jesus wants to dwell in your heart. If you want to have victory, Christ has to be on the throne of your heart, and you have to surrender your selfishness, selfish desires. And I can testify, it's amazing living that lifestyle. Galatians 2, verse 20. I guess it is Paul talking about not I, but Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Not I, but Christ in the heart. Point number two. Not I, but Christ in our actions. In every action, let men see, not I, but Christ who dwells in me. Let's turn to, if you want, 1 Peter 2. Verse 19 to 25. First Peter 2, verse 19 to 25. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, not fighting back. Not I, but Christ in our actions. Point number three, give not I, but Christ the glory. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You know, we can, on the job or wherever, we can be all OSHA approved and have all our safety gear on, but at the end of the day, we have to acknowledge that God is in control. He has our life in his hands. And if something happens and he chooses to spare us miraculously, I think we should give him the glory. And I think he enjoys helping those kinds of people that give him the glory for sparing them. I have a story here that I would like to read. Leap of faith. Burn in fire or die by electrocution. Stranded on the catwalk of a corn chopper, engulfed in flames and wrapped in the deafening hum of 140,000 volts, J.P. Coop leaped into a crackling hail of current. Crashing into a smoking row of freshly cut stalks on the superheated ground, Coop's body went to jelly on impact, electricity surging through his limbs. On hands and knees, the Michigan farmer made the crawl of his life, a bid to escape a death trap. His incredible survival has no room for chance, Coop insists. 5 hours prior, his crew sought protection. We prayed for safety. We asked God to watch over us with full expectation that he'd meet our genuine need. That's exactly what happened, and I'm here to bear witness because there is no other explanation. On a Thursday morning, September 12, 2024, Lucky 7 Dairy, helmed by Coop, approached harvest kickoff. Corn was ready. Featuring 3,000 acres of light, fertile soil and 2,000 Holsteins set in the hilly topography of Upper Michigan's Milwaukee County, Lucky 7 prepared for an ideal day of field work, bright and breezy, low humidity, and a high expected in the upper 70s. Just before tucking into a homemade breakfast, roughly 14 members of the harvest team, truck and tractor operators, gathered beside Lucky 7 Chop for a safety meeting and final emphasis on awareness. At the conclusion, Coop asked neighboring farmer Mike Bosker to lead a safety prayer. We bowed our heads and Mike prayed in a sincere manner for God's hand to be over all of us, Coop recalls. We asked him full expectation and we meant every word. A relative newcomer 6 years to the dairy industry, after a lifetime spent around machinery and as a long-haul veteran and a 130-truck business carrying produce between California and Michigan, Coop had never experienced a major accident. He was about to walk a wire. In work boots and Wranglers, Coop, 58, climbed the ladder of a forage harvester crowned by a distinctive arched chute and drove toward 80 acres of green corn to start the field opening process and cut enough space to ensure loading trucks had room to receive silage. On its northern side, the field was rimmed by a main road paralleled by a power line suspended roughly 14 feet high. Every field is different, Coop says, but most everyone deals with frequent power pulls and power lines, whether on the side or even in the middle of a field. You've got to stay alert to exactly where they're at, but on this day, I reacted too late. Rolling at 5 miles per hour, Coop completed an outer pass of the field and began a second revolution with the power line directly to his left. An operator, Denny Camphouse, driving a tractor and wagon to his right. Coop's two-way crackled. "Hey, you're getting close to that line," Camphouse warned. At roughly 16 feet in the air along the low-lying power line, Coop's chute bobbed like a crow's nest. He tried to adjust. Too late. At the touch of chute to power line, 140,000 volts welded metal on metal and ignited a hail of sparks, blowing the chute's hydraulic cylinder and ignited the chopper tires. There was no way rotating or getting away. I spun around and saw the chute sparking, and the heat just made it stick to the wire even more. Coop shut off the chopper and took stock, his ears drowning under the overwhelming hum of surging electricity. Seconds, flashes, family, decisions, calculations, questions. Risk a step onto the steel catwalk? Dare to remain in the cab? Descend the ladder? Wait for the power line to short out? As the back tires blew and the chopper rocked, Coop opened the cab door to his left and scrambled onto the platform, enveloped by smoke and the heat of expanding flames. I didn't know where to go or what to do, but I knew once those back rims were touching the ground, I'd be electrocuted. Think. Seconds were going by as I stood there and tried to gather my options. It was a major power line, so it had no breaker and it wasn't going out. Also, I couldn't go down by the steps because sparks were flying out of them. Looking down, Coop stared at cut corn rows belching smoke from pulsing current. Looking behind, Coop eyeballed a silage harvester in meltdown. Volts to the front, flames to the back. Coop made his choice. He didn't want to burn. In a frozen moment beyond the incessant buzzing and mounding heat, Coop found clarity. Images were flashing across my mind and heart, but all of a sudden, in the middle of all that chaos, I hung on one clear thought. If I died, and no matter how I died, I knew where I was going because Jesus saved me from my sins and had given me the grace to stand before God. That split-second recognition came in a freeze frame that settled everything and took away my fear. I'll jump. I'll push out as far as my body will let me and maybe get far enough away from the current's ripple effect to survive. Coop climbed on the handrail, balanced on the metal bar almost 10 feet high, bent his legs, and pushed off with the kick of every muscle fiber in his 58-year-old body. I hit the ground, fell forward, and felt my body getting electrified. I couldn't stand up or control my legs, but I could move on 100% adrenaline, and I started crawling, trying to get out of the ripple effect before it killed me. It was such a weird sensation to feel the current blowing through me. I could feel it especially in my hands and knees, but it wasn't painful. Roughly 20 feet later, Coop crawled out of the ripples to safety. He stood up, ran around the chopper to get away from the power lines, and collapsed in an adjacent ditch from where he was carried by Lucky 7 crew members to a neighbor's yard. No wounds or burns from electricity or flames. Miraculous, Coop insists. I should have died. Cracking, popping, booming, buzzing. The chopper was gone, burned up. All the liquids superheated, all the aluminum melted and pooled on the ground. The cab exploded and blew glass everywhere. Tires gone. Steel was the only thing left behind. With a heart rate pumping off the charts and a heel sore from the jump impact, Coop was taken to the hospital. The power company guys wanted to meet me before we left. They said they had never seen anyone walk away from this kind of accident. 4 hours after arriving, Coop was released from the hospital. He used the next day to rest and ease muscles sore from intense flexing during voltage conductivity. 2 days after tapping 140,000 volts, he was back in a chopper Thursday to Saturday. Lucky seven notwithstanding, Coop does not believe in luck. There was nothing random about my survival. If chance was involved, I'd be a dead man right now. Coop's near-death accident has elevated safety concerns to the top rung of daily farm activity. See something? Speak up and question it, regardless of your role. We all feel the fragility of life on a farm, and my mistake has increased our awareness to the highest level, where it has to stay. I can say it simply. I know now where all power lines are at all times. Why was Coop spared? I only know I'm supposed to bear witness. For the rest of my life, I'll use this to talk about God's providence, he adds. I'm blessed with my wife, Suzanne, who took such good care of me. I have seven wonderful children. I have a story to tell about how God protected me. Give not I, but Christ, the glory. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ, be honored, loved, exalted. Not I, but Christ, be seen, be known, be heard. Not I, but Christ, in every look and action. Not I, but Christ, in every thought and word. Not I, but Christ, in lowly, silent labor. Not I, but Christ, in humble, earnest toil. Christ, only Christ, no show, no ostentation. Christ, none but Christ, the gatherer of the spoil. Christ, only Christ, no idle word e'er falling. Christ, only Christ, no needless bustling sound. Christ, only Christ, no self-important bearing. Christ, only Christ, no trace of I be found. Not I, but Christ, my every need supplying. Not I, but Christ, my strength and health to be. Christ, only Christ, for body, soul, and spirit. Christ, only Christ, live then thy life in me. God bless you all.